BlogTalkRadio.com.
You are tuned into WTR Sunday Night.
Hello, this is three-time WWE Champion and Hardcore Legend Mick Foley, and you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio with the Triple Threat. Yeah!
Hi, this is Gail Kim, and you're listening to WTR Sunday Night.
This is Wobcat Chris Harris. You're listening to WTR Wrestle Talk Radio on Sunday Night, and if you don't like it, sorry about your damn luck.
With the Heartbreaker, Tim Stein.
Do I make you horny?
The man that makes you ask who the hell he is. The original foreign kid, Internet Mace.
Dave's not here.
And the man who makes the ladies go all flutter, Mr. Sunday Night Casanova, TJ Omega.
Hail to the king, baby.
Hey, everybody, it's Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man, and you're listening to Wrestle Talk Radio. And if you want to get your money's worth, stay tuned.
This is Samoa Joe. And remember, it's okay to play with yourself as long as you have an action figure.
This is extreme.
Peace up, A-Town.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And apparently I'm no longer the be-all, end-all of the network because someone changed my name when I wasn't looking. Rock?
Someone's in trouble, and it's not me this time.
He's not going to answer. Well, now I know why Lindsay's not on the call right now. Anyway, this is the Omega. Still the be-all, end-all. I don't care what the intro says.
What did the intro say?
I can't even remember now, but it associate. Never mind, I'm not going there.
Chicken.
With me tonight, we have Mace.
Internet Mace. Because Dave's not here.
Right. So at the end of this... At the end of this episode, Omega's going to go off, split off, and make his own radio network and take somebody else's show and all the credit that goes with it. I'm going to disappear into obscurity, leaving Tim to do this stuff all by himself again until he gets another couple of entertaining guys to take it over for him when he decides to go on sabbatical.
Hey, wait a minute. I'm still looking for a couple of entertaining guys.
I'm not gonna go anywhere and form any old network. Hey, jeez. I'm just clown shoeing my way through this.
Right.
So, now that that intro has completely screwed over what could have been any, like, real flow to this show.
Nothing like a train wreck before we even get onto the air. Hey, kids. Hey, could you introduce me?
Then we're going extremely old school with that then.
No, we just kind of trailed off. And, of course, talking ahead of his turn, the one and only Tim Stein.
Apparently, I'm the heartbreaker like I used to be. That was back in the day, dudes. After all, it is old school night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. Yes, I said Ray Didio. Why? Because it stuck in my head when I was 17, called WRIF 101.1 FM Detroit. And talk to Art Penhowell, the afternoon DJ, to request a song. And he called it Ray Didio, and it has just stuck in my head since then. Why? I don't know.
So it's stuck in your head. So it's stuck in your head the same way the DuckTales theme is stuck in Omega and Mines.
Yeah, pretty much. Kind of, you know, shit happens, and I lied to him, and I told him it was my birthday, and I wanted to hear Alice Cooper, I'm 18, you know. So. I've tried. Anyway, never mind. Forget it. Don't worry about it. So tomorrow night, Raw is a retro night. Some people are saying it's a throwaway show. Last Monday didn't start off like a throwaway show. What'd you think about all that blood, Mace?
Accidental.
Yeah, but still.
But it's blood.
But still, yeah. I didn't realize that Brock Lesnar had that much brain blood flowing to his brain, so.
Well, the way I saw it, he had all that blood there because there wasn't, you know, because there was room. Because his entire head isn't taken up with the brain.
Well, when you're Brock Lesnar, you got a lot of blood in the head because of that sloping forehead that covers most of his cranium.
You know, I'm going to tell you once, Kane Kittens, no warnings or anything else like that. I'll boot your ass the fuck out of my chat room. Okay, continuing on. So what'd you think about that whole thing there? You know, Vince comes out and then Brock comes out and looks like he's going to beat the hell out of Vince after Vince and Paul Heyman have a little bit of a back and forth with each other. And then, boom, time to play the game. Out comes Triple H.
It played exactly like we were expecting it to play. Notes were hits, and it got people hyped up to see what is going to be the inevitable rematch between Triple H and Brock Lesnar.
Yeah. Now, I think that it was, you know, pretty much a perfect setup because, you know, they had to reintroduce the feud somehow. I mean, it's almost like it was serendipitous that McMahon had to have his hip replaced or whatever it was.
Well, it's a convenience, yeah. But that's what WWE works with all the time. You know, this happens, we're going to be working into a story. Okay, let's go with it. Okay, this one just happened to have really good timing.
No kidding. The thing I've been wondering is what would they have done if Vince didn't need the crutches and stuff like that? You know? I just can't help but wonder all of the different what ifs.
Yeah, but you could go in the million realms of what ifs. You know, what if Vince McMahon was a cyborg? You know,
the Vincinator.
Yeah, the Vincinator. good one.
Come with me if you want a job. But yeah, it's people were like, "Oh, we're gonna see Vince versus Heyman in a fight." No, especially not with Vince recently coming off surgery and all that type of stuff.
Yep.
So to have Lesnar come out and do what he did, and then Triple H come out and be the Oh My God savior with Hairgate version 3.0 going on.
Yeah, a lot of speculation going on that after Brock accidentally busted his head open against the ring post, Triple H peed his pants because of all the blood on PG programming.
Har, 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 har.
Yeah, I know. Be all like, you know, like nonplussed about it and shit like that. But hey, there were screen caps and photographs and questions all over the interwebs.
And because, as we know, everything that's said on the interwebs has got to be true, right?
Yeah, well, come on, let's face it. When he poured the water over his head, he doesn't have any hair left to stop it.
Exactly.
it pooled.
I have to admit, I am kind of waiting for him to do his full entrance with the short hair, just for how odd it's going to look.
It's going to be weird, especially pouring the water.
You probably skipped that completely. But yeah, it's very different, but it's also, he looks a lot more serious.
Yeah. Well,
and
you know,
that's actually what you need going into this feud. You need Triple H to look as serious as possible, and if changing his look up a bit gives him that, then by all means, then it's gonna work.
Well, when did he first cut his hair? Was that back in like August?
It was not long after WrestleMania last year, if I remember correctly.
Okay. And it's a lot shorter now than it was after his first massive major haircut. And I think it looks better now than the initial haircut looked.
Yeah, well, at least he didn't cut it into some sort of weird faux hawk.
Yeah, this is true.
Other people in the company.
Meanwhile, Lindsay is sitting wherever the hell she's sitting. Little wisps of steam starting to come out of her ears. Because of that remark, Mace.
Oh, look, I'll make her happy later. I'll replay WWE 13 and have The Undertaker come out the Brutus Clay's entrance. It'll make her happy.
Can you make him dance to the music? In WWE 13?
Yeah. Yeah, I just go in, I change the music and the actual entrance animation to Brutus Clay.
Using The Undertaker model.
Okay.
Okay, do a, like, record that shit. I want to see a cop. I want to see a capture of it. Undertaker coming out doing the funky dance.
We'll see what happens. So you should have tuned in on Friday night when I was doing it on the games night. Yeah.
You know, he does games night on Friday nights, everybody, the originator. Hey, do you like that? Do you like that? You are now the originator.
No, considering that I'm just doing the same thing as about 8,000 other people on YouTube.
Yeah, but you're doing it before 8,000 other people are doing it on different places.
No.
All right, I'm reaching a
number. I'm very, very down the list, dude. I'm very humble in that respect.
There you go.
Wait until I have like 10,000 subscribers, then I'll start getting an ego about it.
Yeah, we might have to get your press release.
Indeed.
Only if you reach 10,000 subscribers. I think that's the requirement. But then again, I'm no expert about press releases.
Now I'm starting to get those little wisps of steam.
Hey, it's your own damn fault, man. It's just...
Oh, yeah, it's my fault for being successful. Thank you.
You know, you can be humble about it and not talk about it, but you've talked about it, and you're the one who did it.
I talked about it once. It's you fuckers that keep bringing it back up.
Well, you know, you with your phony press, your phony ego thing, you said it once, and that's all it took. That's all it took.
Jeez. I'm not telling you people anything anymore.
Good luck with that one.
Yeah, so Triple H and Brock Lesnar, huh?
Yeah, so you knew it was going to happen. They were going to figure out some way of setting it up. But after watching Monday, I'm looking forward to it. I wasn't looking forward to it until Monday. Now I'm looking forward to the match.
They've got to sell me on it a little bit more. Like, I'm buying the idea, I'm just sort of wanting to see what they can do to make it different from what happened at, SummerSlam.
Uh-huh.
They need, you know, with three matches like this, you've always got to try and up it a little bit more.
Well.
Give us something that's not going to make us turn around and go, oh, this is just the same thing they had on at SummerSlam, I'm going to go and make a sandwich.
Yeah, well, the, first time around, I was saying that, you know, they basically gave away the outcome of the match with Triple H dominating Brock Lesnar so much when he came out to face him to set up the SummerSlam match. I'm hoping they don't do it this time, as you know they're going to be scoring off against each other a couple more times between now and WrestleMania.
Well, they can't fill every week with an old school Raw.
Yeah, that's almost too bad, according to some people.
Okay, let's look on the bright side. I mean, if they keep up this trend that we claim that they are on of never changing and always doing the same old safe thing, then everyone will technically be an old school Raw.
Okay, technically.
Technically.
Technically, sure. There you go.
Well, of course, five more years, and what you know, the episodes that kind of started this are going to be the retro ones.
Yes, this is true. Because everything that you see now winds up being old school at some point in time in history. So yeah, last Monday night's Raw kicking off with that, and the entire show. I don't think that the entire show disappointed. There have been Raws where we've been nitpicky and bitchy about it because it was just really badly executed. But right from the opening pyro to the main event, it was quite a very enjoyable show, I think. What do you guys think? Did you enjoy it?
I'll be honest, I can't remember it.
Ow. That right there tells me it was good, because if you got nothing to bitch about.
No, I just can't remember. I remember the Vince bit out of the start. I know there was a match between Cena and Punk, which I pretty much tuned out for because I knew the outcome going into it. Other than that, I think there was a something to do with Daniel Bryan looking like the Gimp. That's about it.
Yeah,
you can remember.
But then again, I can barely remember what I've done like 4 days ago.
Yeah. Well, okay. There you go. Yeah, Daniel Bryan with a mask over his head and Kane with one arm tied behind his back, and they still win the tag team match.
Well, the funny part is, if you watch SmackDown, they did the same match, but they switched the order. So Kane in his welder's mask came down to the ring, took that mask off, had the mask underneath, and then went and put on another mask. And that one had a goat face on it.
Yo, dog, I heard you like masks?
Something like that, yeah.
I've still got SmackDown. I might have to go watch that bit. But, yes, I do have something to bitch about on Raw. Thank you for reminding me, Tim.
God damn it!
Tim's fault! This shit. Friggin'... what's his name? Fucking Brad Maddox douche thing needs to go.
What, you didn't like the part, the segment where he kept interrupting and finishing what Vicky started saying?
It made him more annoying than Vicky.
What were they calling the two of them? Bricky or something like that?
Something like that. Oh, something no. Stupid like that. And I... No. Just... Get rid of him soon, preferably with a shotgun.
Yeah, I'd rather Tim shit a brekkie than listen to them again.
Tim White, that bitch.
You can remember it as the Monday Night Raw where Jack Swagger didn't get suspended for the thing that a dozen other superstars got suspended for.
Yeah. Yeah. Get caught with drugs, get an extra push.
Well, I'm still waiting for him to get to lose his WrestleMania spot.
Look, he's going to lose the match at Mania, and then he's going to disappear. That's
hopefully
pretty much what's going to work at this stage.
Well, with the cops pushing for jail time because he's not LeBron James or anything like that, you know, they might not wind up delaying any kind of a court case if they decide they want to push it through.
Yes, but I'm quite sure that McMahon and his legal team can find ways to delay this.
Well, yeah, I'm sure.
So, you know.
But yeah, way to go, Swagger. If your match was in any doubt beforehand, I don't think it is now.
No, officer, you can send Swagger to jail. Glenn Beck really hates him.
Don't see that working.
Probably not.
I'm just trying to think of what kind of a defense you'd use. Your client was
use the Chewbacca defense.
The Chewbacca defense?
That's an old reference.
South Park joke, people.
I missed that one.
Go back to...
I miss when South Park was funny like that.
Ooh.
It was one of the very early seasons where Chef was up on some sort of charges. I can't remember what it was, and his lawyer used what is known as the Chewbacca defense, which had something to do about Chewbacca being on the Ewok's home planet or something, and it not making sense. So, anyway, there's your bit of geek shit for tonight.
All right. And, of course, I'm not going to say anything at all about geek shit.
No, you should not.
No.
Ever.
Meanwhile, Rock is just sitting there biting his lip, trying not to say anything about Otaka Talk or anything.
Move the show on, Tim.
It's just waiting.
Don't wait. It creates dead air.
I know, and that's awesome, because then I can actually, you know, hear myself thinking.
This really is old school.
Yeah. So, yeah, the main event was good.
It was.
Surprisingly.
Despite the predetermined outcome.
Uh-huh. Omega, thoughts and opinions?
Yeah, I mean, I can't take anything away from it. I mean, it was a good match, but Punk is one of those guys you can count on to wrestle anybody and put on a good event. As many times as these guys wrestled, I hope they can still put on a good match between each other.
Yeah. Well,
with the exception of one oopsie.
What was the one oopsie?
Punk used a pile driver.
He's not allowed to use a pile driver.
Not the sit-down one, no.
I loved how Jerry shit himself when he did that.
Oh, that was hilarious. And the thing was, it was Punk. Punk was covering something. They fucked something up. And the only way out of it, Punk's just sort of gone, fuck it, pile driver. And I would have loved to have seen what happened when they got backstage, because from the word is that McMahon was backstage with like fire shooting out of his ears. He was pissed.
Well, let's be fair. I mean, Punk is the guy who's punched a fan and didn't get punished, so he can kind of get away with this shit, apparently.
Well, yeah, but the fan deserved it.
But also at the same time, if it's two guys you can trust to pull off such a move in an emergency situation to cover, it is Punk and Cena.
I'd have to go rewatch it to see what the actual turnabout was, because, yeah, the only other way you have out of that with whatever they're going for would be a power bomb, and I don't think Punk's got the muscle for a power bomb on Cena.
No.
So, yeah, if that's the only way out, okay, fine. You know, and as long as it looks good, fine. In the end, it made look Cena all that much better, because, you know, everyone knows that the pile driver's banned because it's a very, very dangerous move. Mm-hmm. So, to include it, you know, okay, yeah, it's more Superman Cena, but, you know, in this case, it actually gives a little bit of credit to him.
Yeah, it didn't hurt one bit. But at least, you know, at least Punk is able to improvise and not actually just continue to try the one move.
Oh, God, it's so bad.
He's incapable of doing it.
Mace, how many botchamanias have we seen someone just try desperately to get one move to work instead of going to a plan B?
Like fucking 600 times, and that's one of the worst things about how people are teaching wrestling today is they teach you not to cover and move on. They teach them to cover and retry the spot, which just looks stupid.
Yeah.
Especially in some situations.
That only works if you can reset it up. And most times you cannot do that. There are very few, examples of being able to, basically come around again to that spot that was botched. To get it done properly.
Wish Ryback and Tensai would learn that.
Yeah. Of course, I was kind of sort of implying the that particular setup in Disaster Omega.
Yeah.
They are that intentional disaster.
Yeah. But it is... It is disappointing, because what you've done is create a generation of wrestlers that don't know how to think for themselves in the ring. Mm-hmm. Like, yep. they're taught the way you, like, script out a play or something. Where, okay, you have to get this across. It has to be this, and there is no other way. And that's wrong. I mean, you take away the ability to improvise, and all of a sudden, you're left with no options that look good. I mean, as I said, go back and watch, like, any episode of Botchamania. You will see someone fuck up a move and then go right back to that move, fuck it up again, and just until it just pulls it off in the most shitty way you can imagine.
Yeah. You know, that's one thing that I've noticed at Canadian All-Pro. The guys with the least amount of experience, they'll try to get that move in. If they screw it up, they'll try to set it up so they can get it, you know. But the guys with more experience, they, you know, something botches, they can't get the move in. Yeah, no trouble at all. We'll just move on and do something different. I mean, Johnny Devine is he's a genius for that one in particular.
I've had that happen in one or two of my matches. They've missed a spot and they're like, oh shit, we've missed a spot. We got to do it again. I've gone, fuck off. Just keep working.
Yeah. Just move on. Don't worry about it.
You'd be surprised. Most times I'm playing the heel, and the heel's used to supposedly the guy who's supposed to control the match. So, I just looked over the footage of the match from Monday. Punk's right knee, which was the one he got operated on recently, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was playing up. You see him having issues getting up. He's in the corner, and he needed something to gain himself a couple more seconds of sort of readjustment on his knee, which is why he pulled out the pile driver.
Mm-hmm.
It was basically Cena's come charging in, Punk kicks him in the knee, and then pulls him into the pile driver to get a few seconds off. So it's basically one of those, I need something to get him down for a few seconds to help me buy some time.
Yeah.
Oh shit. Pile driver.
Well, it was because of the way he was positioned too. Pile driver was just the most natural move to go to. Cause you mean, in those situations, you can pull something like a DDT.
Yeah, you could.
At least get him back, get him down that way.
Yeah, but the pile driver is a little bit, believe it or not, this is weird to say, it's a safer move in that situation. For the guy delivering it, not the guy.
True. Plus also at that time they'd been wrestling for close to 19 minutes. Yep. They were at the point where they were kicking out of each other's finishes. Hitting Cena with a DDT at that point in time is too weak a move to even go for a pinfall attempt to give yourself a few seconds. Whereas a pile driver is one of those quote-unquote higher impact moves that can buy you that extra time and still work well with the match that they've been putting on.
Yep.
That would be, like, the opposite would have been, say, Cena runs in and Punk takes him down the friggin' armbar. That just, after the guys have traded finishes for the last,
do not mock hold number 2 and 4. 6.
36.
8.
Okay. Moving on.
Jericho invented it doesn't mean that it's always a good idea.
Here we go. So, here's the question that a couple of smart marks have asked over the past week in the forums and all this other stuff. Punk's, was Punk trying to, upstage The Rock with this match? I don't think so. I think that was Punk being, what he claims to be, and that's the best in the world.
I don't think, Punk doesn't need to try and one-up The Rock. He just does it.
Didn't Punk say in his DVD that he will go out there and put on the best he can, because that's what he is supposed to do?
And you see, he's got the kind of attitude that I absolutely love. You know, there are wrestlers that just mail it in once in a blue moon. I have yet to see Punk in any match that I have ever seen him in, Ring of Honor, TNA, WWE, mail in any part of a match. Even if he was, injured, wound up having to work injured halfway through the match, he still never mailed it in.
He's one of those guys that has that mindset of you have to send the crowd home with their money's worth, especially if you're in the main event.
Yeah.
And he will make sure that he puts every ounce of his being and ability into a match just to make sure that the crowd does get their money's worth.
Yeah. And that definitely makes sense.
But believe me, if you want to do that as a, hey Vince, this is what you're missing out on, you fucking retard.
Yeah.
All the more power to him.
Yeah. Well, there you go. I don't think that something like that actually happens. Despite anybody's speculation, all these guys are going to out and they're going to tank or they're going to try to upstage, blah, 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 just to show the boss. Come on, things are a little tighter knit and better run than that. I mean, it's perception versus reality.
Plus, if you're gonna do the whole top this scenario, you do it at Mania.
That's
you do it on the same card, and we've seen that happen.
Oh yeah.
With, you know, 2 years in a row, Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker putting on top disc matches, and the people in the main event going, "Oh shit." You know, if you get, if you're gonna put on a top disc match, you put it on at Mania. Not a Raw 4 weeks out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, that's really just the fact of it. I mean, he's just that good. I mean, he's going out there, he's putting on the best match he can, and it looks like he's trying to one-up somebody. It looks like he's trying to prove somebody wrong. It's just that good. I mean, we've said it for years. I mean, he's one of the best things in the WWE right now.
Yeah. Just one of those guys that has that ability.
Well,
I know this might sound weird for people out there. This is what's called a positive opinion of wrestling.
Shut up! What the hell is that?
It's a little unusual. It's a new thing. We're just trying it out. But we're decided that there are things in wrestling that we actually like, and it's the reason that we want to talk.
You just painted a picture of the Austin Powers, the third movie, where Doctor goes, "Just trying it on, see if it fits." No,
I didn't steal a catchphrase. I'm just.
You just made that loop in the back of my head. Thanks, Omega. Appreciate it.
Hey, and you can also think of it this way. We've been positive for this opening segment. There's even been mention of The Rock, and I haven't called him a trash bag hoe.
Oh, yeah, that's just... that's like the coach saying, "I can't talk about the lousy refereeing during the game earlier tonight because I don't want to get a fine or a suspension." The absolutely horrific job the referees did is not something I can bring up at the press conference, but thank you for asking.
Pretty much.
That actually happened a couple years ago. I don't know if you guys ever caught that in football or anything. But I'm watching a hockey game, and the refereeing was absolutely terrible. NHL, Calgary Flames. And I do believe that it was Pat Quinn, coach of the Vancouver Canucks at the time, who actually did that at the press conference. Because there's, you know, the rule, you can't diss the refereeing or you get like a fine or a suspension or whatever, some kind of a penalty. He actually did that, and basically without coming out and saying it was shitty, said it was shitty. And it was just priceless.
Now, Tim, you realize that none of us actually saw that because, unlike you, the rest of us, we don't watch hockey.
Well, it doesn't have to be hockey. It could have been football or Australian rugby for all I fucking care. It was just
anyway.
You know,
time for a
the
break.
Point of it. So everybody, you listen to WTR Sunday Night Roast Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We got a lot more coming up. Don't forget tonight we're playing WTR Pick'em for the upcoming TNA pay per view. We'll be back right after this.
Not a perfect person. There's many things I wish I didn't do, but I continue. Those things to you, and so I have to say before I go that I just want you to know I'm found on a ring.
Hey man, what's your name?
Hello, my name is Jimmy Pop and I'm a dumb white guy.
Why are you sitting there all alone?
Well,
that ain't good. You're kind of weird. You always sing everything you say. Hey, I didn't say anything like that. Man, in fact, I was going to ask if you want to do something if you're not too busy. What you doing around Wednesday, around 8:30?
Eat Spam from the can. Watch late night C-SPAN. And rock out to old school Duran Duran.
Well, I know this awesome wrestling show on wildtalkradio.com. Just another goddamn wrestling show with Jed Schaefer and Scott Barry and the Cheapwood Paneling. They talk about all the wrestling news of the week. Want to listen in? Maybe even call in?
Hell yeah!
Cool. Now, Stop looking at me that way.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah, I don't roll that way. But there is this guy on the show. His name's Joey Gay.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Spud. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Has your weekly Monday Night Wrestling fix got off the air? Don't fret. All you need to do is change the channel to the WTR Raw Post Show.
I'm sorry that I came out here last week and ruined your family portrait, made out with your daughter, implied that you had sex with a bunch of fat, hairy old men, then poured beer on your unconscious body with your illegitimate bastard midget son. My bad.
Tune in every Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time as we break down everything that goes down on WWE Monday Night Raw.
What's up, Holmes? The champ is here.
Interact with us live every Monday night for the WTR Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Peace out, my brothers.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
See, when does it stand?
And you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
That really move him. I said chill.
Welcome back.
Just what I was about to say. Welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Wrestling Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And we're talking about stuff. Mostly wrestling stuff, really.
Supposedly.
Unless you guys want to talk about, I don't know, Transformers or shit.
I do that enough.
Okay. So why don't we talk about, what the hell, the WWE Network. Here's a question for you guys. Would you shell out between $12.99 and $14.99 per month for the WWE Network, Omega?
Depends on what they're putting on there.
Basically, what you see currently on YouTube plus more stuff. And, of course, you know, like wrestling.
So also the stuff I can see on YouTube.
Yeah, pretty much. But you won't see it on YouTube anymore. But here's the thing.
don't watch the stuff they put on YouTube anyway.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. That includes, if you subscribe to the network and you're paying $14.99 a month, you get every single pay-per-view except for WrestleMania. And, of course, every pay-per-view is available to non-subscribers at the regular price. Do you see this as a bit of a moneymaker for WWE if they do it that way?
It's actually kind of hard to say because, I mean, if you think about it, you got such a big audience of people who are already paying for every pay-per-view.
Yeah.
You know, what's the average pay-per-view price right now?
$49.99 to $59.99.
Yeah, ridiculous.
They're generally, depending on where you are. Mace gets it like $10 cheaper than North America for some reason.
Still, I mean, okay, if you're paying $15 a month for this network and you're going to get to see the pay-per-view, okay, well, you know, why would you shell out $50 and get just the pay-per-view?
Yeah, well, see, that's just it. There's still going to be people who do that. They're not going to bother with the network, and they're still gonna buy the pay-per-view, which is, in my opinion, extremely stupid. But a lot of people are, you know, in my opinion, extremely stupid.
But you're also going to get a lot of people who aren't, you know, okay, you might make it up in ad revenue, you know, if this does, which is what they're doing here. Because essentially what they're doing is we know a lot of people are going to be paying for this network and no longer paying for our pay-per-views. You know, and that's a loss of about $35 a person.
Yeah.
So, okay, we're taking a hit. We know we're going to take a hit here, and it's going to be a big hit. But if it gets an immediate audience and it gets us off the ground and we make some ad revenue off of it, this might actually work. And I can see that working in the long if they can back it up with the material for the rest of the month. That's the big question mark.
Well, imagine being able to watch Raw, say, uninterrupted by commercials. That means you get all of the stuff that's, you know, goes on backstage and stuff like that, where right now you've got to go to WWE.com to see what's going on during the commercial breaks, right? Which they've been doing for a couple years now.
Right, right. Well, now they're using it to sell the WWE app.
Yeah. But as anybody who's ever been involved in media knows, advertising pays the bills. It's not the subscribers. I mean, you could have the subscribers paying you $50 a month for your TV channel and wind up with anywhere from, say, 100,000 to 1.5 million. It's still not going to pay the bills like advertising does. The more people you get subscribing, the higher your ad revenue is for that 30-second commercial spot.
Yeah, basically the subscription fee is just paying the network to run the damn thing.
That's basically what it boils down to. I still think $12.99 is a little expensive.
It's hard to say because, you know, it's a whole network of wrestling, but then again, it's a whole network of wrestling. I mean, there's only so much you can do. Okay, well, we can run old pay-per-views. So I'm still watching wrestling. But we can air, like, Monday Nitros. And, you know, we can air Monday Nitros in order for the people who never saw them. And it'd be like, you know, seeing a different wrestling product. It's still wrestling.
Yeah.
And no matter what, there's going to be a wrestling ring, ropes, and at least two guys beating the crap out of each other.
But
no matter what I tune into.
Yeah, the thing about it is, now they can put every single Nitro and every single Thunder that has ever been made.
Well, yeah, put Thunder on there. No one saw it the first time around.
And nobody will see it the second time around.
They can put on WCW Pro and watch such high-class people like The Gambler.
There you go.
Watch the debut of Glacier. All over again. We're still trying to recoup that $1 million. Oh, my God. See, that might be where I would think it might be kind of cool. Like, if you put, like, Monday Nitros on in order, and then, like, as a Friday night special, you put on the pay-per-view they were leading up to. Then you do the same thing next week. And you just, you like, it's like Monday Nitro and fast forward. and you can actually watch it play out without waiting in between. I mean, it might actually be cool if they could work something like that.
Uh-huh. The thing is, how much wrestling stuff can you watch before it gets old and you have to turn the channel to watch, I don't know, American Restoration?
Well, okay, given the fact that WWE has their own back catalog, WCW's back catalog, AWA, world class fucking, you know, fucking GFW, fucking, ECW, they've got that many old feds under their video library, that they've probably got enough there that you could probably show a 24/7 channel for something like 20 years without having a repeat.
Yeah.
And that's not including the weekly new programming that would also be included on the channel as well.
Yeah.
So it's got longevity if they want to do it that way.
Well, they definitely.
I personally wouldn't buy it because I've got all my WCW collection and I don't need it.
Yeah, they definitely would need to have original program that you can't get on regular TV, and it has to be entertaining, to say the very least.
Right. The trick is it has to be diverse.
Yeah.
Because, you know, okay, 24 hours of wrestling. You know, every time I tune into the channel, it's going to be wrestling. Okay. What do I do differently? Well, let's see, can we air all the repeats of Tough Enough? Because here's what happens when WWE branches out from wrestling, you get the XFL and the World Bodybuilding League.
Both could also be shown on the channel.
Yes, but who would want them?
Ain't nobody gonna watch them.
Okay, you put them on at the 2 o'clock, the 2 a.m. time slot where, you know, people like the stoners are able to sit there and stare at a screen.
I'm counting on that for ECW, man.
No. They'll put that 9 o'clock on Thursdays and forget about it, all about it.
It's not TNN. Come on.
But, yeah, basically, they have the library. They have enough backup stuff, because they can also take stuff that they've also produced. So you've got all your WWE-produced movies that you could also slot in there as well for a bit of variety.
Or you have at least
the bodybuilding and the XFL. You have, you know, they'll like you said, they're going to bring a lot of the YouTube stuff over, so there's a lot of that stuff you can bring in. So there is content other than wrestling that can be put on this channel.
Yeah, how many movies that were produced by WWE or like WCW, like, does WWE own the rights to Ready to Rumble? That was a WCW movie. No. You know?
No, that's actually owned by Warner Brothers.
Yeah, it was made with association with WCW, but they don't have any ownership rights.
Yeah, now the question is, do they have any rights to...
Like, you're the Marine, See No Evil.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the Chaperone, stuff like that type of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. You
wouldn't get your old Hulk Hogan movies, you wouldn't get things like Ready to Rumble.
Well, they did get one Hogan movie.
Well, yeah. The one with the Zeus. but that was the worst one of the lot. We all know we want to watch
that
with
us. They have it. If you're talking about putting XFL on this channel for variety's sake, I'm going to defend this.
Yeah. Now, what I'm talking about here, you know, different networks wind up playing different movies, and of course, they have the rights to play those movies for a certain length of time. Can you see WWE Network acquiring the rights to play something like Ready to Rumble or any other movie that has anything to do with wrestling for, like, say, the month of February? We're going to show this movie 10 times.
I could see them because here's a little secret about movies with wrestlers as actors is they're generally not that good. So the rerun rights are actually pretty damn cheap.
Pretty damn cheap. And the thing is, wrestling fans will watch Ready to Rumble.
Wrestling fans will watch Ready to Rumble. They'll watch They Live.
Dude, I watch Ready to Rumble at least once a year.
So there you go, right? You know.
But then again, I also watch Suburban Commando, so.
See, that could be the thing.
Only because I want to hear The Undertaker with a squeaky voice.
See, this is the thing. Like, why not do that? Like, first Saturday night of every month is a Hulk Hogan movie. You know, it's Suburban Commando. You know, it's Mr. Nanny. It's Three Ninjas 3. That type of thing.
So this WWE Network might wind up being like MTV, where it's not just, you know, MTV started off playing nothing but music videos, and then they branched out. And now you're lucky to catch 10 music videos a day on MTV.
Well, that's a marketing thing. But
no, that's a case of they had to diversify and expand so they didn't lose their audience.
Yeah, pretty much. You have to do different things or people tune out, which is the hurdle that this network faces. Because no matter what you do, you're still faced with a wrestling product. Like, even if it's something like The Legend House that they filmed, it's still a bunch of wrestling personalities. It has nothing to do with the squared circle, but it's still the same people. So you're hitting a wall no matter what direction you go in here. The trick is figuring out how to create content out of what they have that's going to be diverse enough for this. Mace?
Yeah.
Idea?
Uh-oh.
What and how much is it going to cost me?
not like a scheming idea, but, you know, if WWE is looking for diversity on this network and they're looking to do it cheap, why not do what we do?
What, play video games? they're going to do Left 4 Dead Nights?
No, they'll do WTR riffs.
Yes!
A little hint, people, Friday night.
You like that, did you, Omega?
Well, thank you for going in the right direction.
Yeah, they'll do WWE riffs.
Yeah, well, then
you gotta put us out of business. Don't give them that idea. You
Michael,
never.
We'll sue them.
Rock,
yeah, let's do it. We'll sue them.
Archive.
The hell with it. We will sue them.
I'm sorry, dude. I kind of watched if they MST their own product. I'm sorry. And let's face it, they've got a much bigger library than we do.
Well, that would wind up being like, are you some
imagine?
That would be the, you know, they
I
would
that the
be
people who were involved, if that's the case.
Well, it can like, be some of the, well, here's the thing, you'd need like master riffers, you know, you'd need like comedically inclined people there.
Hey, Mace, you might get a chance to be hired by WWE. you know, unlike some people.
God, it'd be Omega and myself being paid to riff WWE.
There you go.
Oh, it'd be fun.
Talk about a dream job. But
can just sit me down. Just sit me down with December to Dismember, please.
Could you imagine? Like we've done this in the past where we've gone through a whole heap of vignettes. Could you imagine Raven riffing the Canyon flip bump into the pool?
Yes.
You know,
can you like, say awesome?
Get like Sluger in to riff his appearance on Superboy. Kevin Nash riffing his own quad tear.
Oh, you wouldn't be able to. No, you wouldn't stay like focused long enough. I'm sorry.
I think there'd be a little too much profanity to air that one.
That's the other thing, especially with this network, is do they go back and do like they've done in the past with a whole heap of old clips and that's, you know, sort of clean them up and censor them and drag them into the current media setting that the company has?
It's a subscription pay network. Why would they keep it PG? the hell with that. You want PG? Watch Monday Night Raw or Saturday Morning Slam.
One at a time, kids.
Because that's the company image. If you're going to create a network based around the company, you're going to have to adhere to the company image, which is still PG.
But this technically, this is a different part of the company, though. This is something you voluntarily have to subscribe to and voluntarily pay for on a monthly basis. It's the same thing you have for HBO and Cinemax, whatever. A lot of those are under other umbrellas, but they don't reflect on the parent company because they are a separate service that you know what you're getting into when you pay for it.
It's like Disney running DreamWorks.
Well, Disney is Pixar. DreamWorks is a different company.
Well, you know what I'm talking about. They've got a separate movie company that has no actual reflection on Disney, and they can do R-rated movies.
No, I'll tell you. Well, here's the one. Here's the example I always cite: Kill Bill. Kill Bill, I believe, is done by Miramax, which is a Disney company.
Yeah.
Wasn't it Miramax also owns things like Clerks and Mallrats?
Yeah, I mean it's weird, but technically, you know, whatever they produced is a Disney movie. Disney owns the rights.
Technically, yeah. But it's not associated with Disney because it's under a different name, so Disney can get away with doing more grown-up shit.
Yeah. Also, keep in mind this is post election WWE. Linda is done with politicking, as she's said.
And you know that they can change it up just like they do on regular television, right? They can later on at night, say it's after 9 p.m. Eastern. They can start putting the edgier content on there. You know, they can show house shows where Triple H was getting girls to expose their boobs. Which, yeah, okay, I'll watch for that.
And they can put on ACW where they had full on stripping.
Yeah, you know.
I have seen some late night.
They'll be able to show Chris Benoit after 9 p.m.
There it is.
Oh, now we're reaching.
I don't know how much of a reach that really is, though, Omega.
I would just go through and cut him out of all the old Nitros like they've done on the when they had the 24/7.
They just have a big blur come out.
Yeah, big blur.
it looked like one of those guys on Cops.
Yeah, just blur the guy, you know, just blur Benoit's head.
Chris Jericho is facing a mass of pixels.
Today's technology, they could actually do it without fucking up Jericho's face.
True.
Oh yeah, those are some very precise mosaicing now.
Yep.
You could go in there and digitally insert another wrestler into that match. Like, it's no longer Chris Benoit. All of a sudden, you just have this fantasy world where, like, Perry Saturn was the world champion for a while.
Oh, can you imagine them getting together with Spielberg's special effects group that did Jurassic Park and actually CGI together a match between Lou Thesz and John Cena?
See, now, there you go. You want to talk original programming for this?
That's pretty fucking original.
Get something like that going. get a fancy thing where, you know, once a week they hold a poll on the website that goes all week, and at the end of the week, they show the match on the network.
That'd be impossible.
Yeah, it takes like 8 to 10 months to put something like that together.
This would be a huge endeavor. Now,
but what you do is you do 7 or 8 of them and let people vote on 3 at a time, because you've already got them ready.
Yeah, because, you know, it's the show is WWE Dream Match, right?
Yeah.
So that's all you have to promote. Okay. And you do it, and this is a really bad example because the show is shit, but you do it like Deadliest Warrior. You know, where you know what?
My son loves that show, Deadliest Warrior.
It's the most unscientific pretend science breakdown.
Oh, it's the biggest bunch of bullshit you've ever seen on TV, but it's still amusing.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Okay, clearly this old gun can go through about 4 cantaloupes, and this one can get through about 2 watermelons. So clearly the cantaloupe gun is the stronger gun. What?
Yeah. It's like, what the fuck is that?
But like literally, like you just like, you have this hour long show where you look at the archive footage, you have them studying the moves, you have like a couple guys, like some mid-carders not doing anything in the WWE coming demonstrating the moves and, oh god, okay, that about killed my neck and shoulders. You know, you like analyze this shit and pretend like you're doing science and then basically run a match off of WWE 13.
Well, you guys, I know you've all seen Rocky Balboa where they had, as Paulie called it, the cartoon fight. Between Rocky and the current champion.
That was one of the first things I thought of, was that type of thing.
Right.
Alright, and that was inspired by the computer. When they first got computers capable to do stuff like this, they set up Muhammad Ali while he was not allowed to, he wasn't allowed to defend his title because he decided not to go to Vietnam. They set him up against, who was it? Rocky Marciano. And then they actually had Rocky and Muhammad Ali in the ring acting out what the computer was saying was going on. This would just take it to another level, right?
Oh yeah.
Now this is something that I might watch just for shits and giggles.
Yes, Starscream Josh, like Death Battle, except we'd actually go with logic instead of, oh my god, stupidity, let's try and fake our way through.
Goku should have won, goddammit.
No shit.
Yeah. Hey, did you guys watch Robot Wars?
Oh, Robot Jocks, you mean?
Or whatever it's called, the thing that Chris Jericho hosts.
Yes.
My son actually PVR'd that thing, and so, because he thought it was really cool, robots beating each other up. He got me to watch it, and the first thing that I thought of watching this was the movie Real Steel.
That's kind of probably where this spawned from. Because, I mean, you can quote, like, you know, there's been robot jocks, there's been battle bots, but, you know, Real Steel is the new one, so that's what people are thinking of.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, you know, when I saw this, well, you know, we're probably only like 5 or 6 years away from being able to have remote controlled robots that you don't have to tether. Like you have these things tethered. And that'd be kind of damn interesting.
Did you not see the link that I put before the show with the robot that can throw the bricks?
I saw the link. I didn't have a chance
We are getting closer and closer to all hail our robotic overlords.
Yeah. The thing that's wild about that though, is the timeline they gave in Real Steel. That's my point. I mean, that timeline is almost bang on. Was supposed to take place in like 2022 or something like that?
It's a little bit more, I don't know if it'll be, I actually don't know if it'll be that, because, you know, that's less than 10 years at this point. Even like Osmo, that they pumped millions and millions of dollars into, it still has a really hard time keeping its balance and still goes very, very slow.
Yeah.
You know, creating a bipedal robot because a bipedal robot doesn't shift its balance the way a human does, and it can't move fast enough to keep that momentum, which is what keeps us balanced when we walk.
I want a robot like Noisy Boy.
Noisy Boy?
Noisy Boy. From Real Steel.
Well, it's from Real Steel.
Yeah. I didn't watch Real Steel.
You've got to see the movie.
It's a giant robot battling movie. I'm sure I'll see it eventually.
Yeah, I'm surprised you haven't seen it yet.
I'm still waiting for the Robot Jocks remake.
Plus, you got to remember, Omega's got better things to do with his time, like watch old cartoons from the 80s.
Yeah, I've seen some cheesy-ass robot fights, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, okay, you talk about cartoons from the 80s. I'm sorry, none of the cartoons from the 80s can hold a candle to the cartoons from the 60s.
beg to differ on that.
Just for the political satire. I'm not talking about, you know, like animation or any of that other bullshit. Just the political satire in Rocky and Bullwinkle. Now we kill moose and squirrel. I mean, you can't beat that, man.
Well, you can't get away with that kind of shit these days. I mean,
no.
Technically, cartoons weren't strictly made for kids back then. I mean,
they were made for mom and dad.
Yeah.
That's all there was to it.
Yeah. Yeah, you had the Flintstones peddling cigarettes and Bugs Bunny having anti-Hitler propaganda.
Yeah, that just floors me, thinking about Fred and Wilma smoking Chesterfields.
It's weird.
Which in the United States is a cigarette, but in Canada it's a thing that you sit on that's really long like a chair, but wider. You Americans call them sofas.
Hey, what's that I spy over in the far, far distance? Oh, yes, the original topic.
By topic. Anyway, 60s cartoons.
Donald Duck hiding Hitler is still the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
That's hilarious. Come on. But if you want to go even further back, the original Three Stooges when they're making fun of Hitler. Now that was funny. And I take it nobody's seen any of this shit.
Vaguely. This was, you're talking about media back in the day when no Asian person was depicted without teeth that you could play piano on.
Yeah, this is true. And it was all played by some guy from Malibu, California. And your Indians were actually from Oregon. And they were white. But back to WWE Network, kids.
So many lies in F Troop. God damn it. I'm dropping F Troop references. Get back to wrestling.
Oh, shit. That's why I'm laughing my ass off. I used to watch reruns of F Troop when I was a kid. There were like 12 channels back then, people. Believe it or not.
And none of them were the WWE Network.
Yes, that just sucked. You know, there was no wrestling on any of the 12 channels. It was terrible. It was absolutely horrible. So, you know, like, checking out this WWE Network might not be a bad idea. But if they could diversify and find the money to do some of that shit that we've been talking about, that would be kind of cool.
Well, here's the thing. How about this? Mace, we've seen the graphics that they're going to be capable of in video games these days. Like, why bring in Industrialites and Magic who are going to charge $100 million per model? You know, why not just, like, have the video game do it and just show you how good the video game's going to look and cross-promotion the thing? Which is something that would actually be really good because you're moving to a new publisher.
That sounds like a really good idea. Which means it's probably going to happen because we know they're going to steal our ideas in about 5 minutes.
You know what? Go ahead.
Usually what happens.
Go ahead. I will gift wrap this with a pretty bow on top. Do it. I want to see this.
Because we'll watch, damn it.
You might just get my $13 a month.
Mace, how much would it wind up being for you down there? $6? $5?
We'd probably be looking closer to $20 a month.
Just because Australians are cheaper cunts than Jews? I mean, you know.
No, because we always get charged more than what you guys pay over there. So if something's $15 over there, it's going to be at least 20 here.
Except for TV programs and shit like that. We're paying $50 for a pay-per-view. You're paying 30. Explain that to me. Well, 35 for media.
Well, you got to realize that you guys are...
We're paying 60 for Mania.
You're paying 60 for Mania, but you're also paying for the high definition version. We're still getting standard definition. We're only getting standard here.
That's $60, regular or high def, and in Canada it's the same price.
Yeah, but the thing is, you get the high definition version. We don't.
Okay.
That's why we're getting charged a lower price, because we because of transmission rates and all that shit, we are still getting the standard definition version down here.
Well, still. I want my pay-per-views for $30 a month instead of $35. Or instead of $55 or whatever it is. You know what I mean. But launching this WWE Network, is that going to cause any problems with people who just can't find the extra $13 a month to buy it? For one reason or another?
Well, they said initially that they've got, was it 2 to 4 million people?
Mm-hmm.
Basically ready to go, yeah, we're going to pay for it straight out, and they only need something along the lines of
like
1 million
to break
even.
To break even, and so they're going to triple their break even bottom line.
Yeah, so if they lose people because they can't afford that extra money, they've still got enough people there to make the money off of that small pocket of people that are not going to be able to pay. They just don't matter.
See, what I'd like to know is how many of these 4 million or 3 million people are going to pay for the network, watch the regular WWE weekly programming to begin with? And how many might buy the network initially to check it out just for, the libraries that could be aired without repeat? You got the NWA, the AWA, Stampede Wrestling, everything WWE has purchased over the years. I mean, I would get it just to be able to watch vintage classic Stampede Wrestling again. Shit that I used to watch, you know, back in the 80s when it was still going strong here.
Well, that is what they're banking on here, is the big nostalgia factor for all this. It's not just stuff you've never seen before, but the stuff you haven't been able to see in forever.
Well, they'd have to bank on the nostalgia factor. I mean, they've been doing that with WWE 24/7 already, haven't they?
Pretty much. I mean, that's, you know, it's all the different markets you got to consider. It's the nostalgia for the people who haven't been able to see this in 20 odd years. The old wrestling fans who miss the Attitude Era, they miss WCW. Why would you? But yeah, they do. For the people who, you have an audience for the people who never did get to see this stuff. Lindsay tells us all the time she was never in this era before. So, there's an audience for people like her. You know, you've got all the stuff that you've never been exposed to, all the history that they always talk about. So you play on that. And you're talking about is marketing a ton of tiny little focus groups. But if you can get them all to pay attention at the same time, then you can sell a network.
Yeah. Well, speaking about selling things, why don't we sell people on listening to other programming on the Wild Talk Radio Network, take a break, and inundate them with all these innovative and interesting ad spots that Rock has come up with while we take a break. Everybody else in WTR, Saturday Night Wild Talk Radio, we'll be back. Don't forget, it's coming soon.
It's not like we're dead. Was it something I did? Was it something you said? Don't leave me hanging in a city so dead. Held up so high on such a breakable thread. You were all the things I...
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha! Eddie might have himself some cig. I just gotta cross a fucking freeway that would kill me. Eight fucking lanes. Eight motherfucking lanes. Dude, the Godfather of me retired. He just fucking loses the match and keeps on ticking. Fucking eight lanes, the motherfucking highway! Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody.
Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy of slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know. I gotta run across fucking three lanes of highway now. God damn it. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 to my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7. Fuck, this fucking better be open. I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway. They're not open. What the fuck? Are you sure you're not open?
Can I get a pack of Camel Light?
Hell yeah. Oh my god. Alright. Safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green, no one's coming, no one's turning, and I gotta go. Yeah, I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street.
Somebody
give me a goddamn... Ah, it's fucking Sunday, you can't buy beer. Wait a minute, what time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Ah, forget about it. Get it? All right, I'll just smoke my cigarettes and be fucking happy. Oh, no, that's fucking just perfect. Green light just came on this fucking... about to be plowed by fucking three 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. Fuck me, man. I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas live midnight, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
Every Thursday night, we bring to you The Rock.
These people yearn for enlightenment. Who do they have to turn to? Who do they have to place upon a pedestal so that they may bask in the glow of their own essence? In short, the answer is no one.
We bring you a complete recap of Impact Wrestling, along with all of the latest news and unique discussions about the world of professional wrestling.
Sure, there are those who attempt to appeal to the unwashed masses, but they are nothing more than false prophets whom I will expose.
Join us Thursday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern, for The Rock.
I am the bright beam of enlightenment that will serve as the avenging sword of taste and decency.
Redefining pro wrestling talk from the fans, for the fans, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You're welcome!
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, the whole fucking show, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network, boo.
Pajama time. Come here, little kitty, on my lap. Guess who's back with a brand new rap? And I don't mean rap as in a new case of child investigation accusation. No worries, Papa's got a brand new bag of toys. What else could I possibly do to make noise? I done touched on everything but little boys.
And welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I don't know why, but I was expecting to hear, like, hair metal and shit like that from the 80s, being that is supposed to be retro. How, you know, you can't get all that much more retro than the 80s, can you?
Well, Tim, the show started in 2004, correct?
Wrestle Talk Radio debuted on the interwebs in March of 2004. I could give you the exact date in just a quick sec, as a matter of fact.
These are the top songs of 2004.
Oh, so that's what you're doing.
Yeah, there's a theme.
Okay.
They all suck.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah, and you swallow.
Anyway, welcome back to the show.
I do believe it was March 28th. That we debuted. It was, no, March 21st.
So we're coming up on 9 years?
Yeah.
How about that?
Been on the show that long, have I?
for almost 10 years, your home of wrestling radio.
I don't comment.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
With the chairman of the board, Tim Stein.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so I've been actually doing internet interwebs radio for over 10 years now. I have been a fixture. That's a scary thought.
Time for you to retire, old man. Just like all old technology, we must get rid of you for a newer model.
Yeah, sure. You can pay the web server costs and everything.
Do we need to get you a plaque or something?
I want a cookie, goddammit. I want a medal. I want something. I want something. I want an honorary Oscar.
Honorary Oscar. Okay. You got it.
Or something like that, you know.
We'll put up your name in the in memorandum.
In memoriam, you mean.
Whatever.
I'm not dead yet.
Keyword, yet.
There you go. Yeah, which one of us got some the other night, Mace? Raise your hand, like I've got mine up. There you go.
Yeah, but unlike you, I don't have to pay for mine.
I didn't pay for mine either, but I will wind up paying for it down the road. Long story. Anyway, moving on. Yeah, old school. That's right. Tomorrow night, old school raw. You know, I did this like 2.5 years ago. What are we going to see tomorrow night?
Retirement home empty out.
Yeah. Some matches, some promos, some bad commentary from Michael Cole.
Wait a second. Can we get rid of Michael Cole if it's old school night? Can we get rid of Michael Cole at least for one night?
It would be nice, but I don't think we will.
We want JR and Jesse the Body Ventura.
Oh, God. Get Vince and Jesse on commentary.
Yeah, Vince and Jesse just for one night. That'd be awesome.
Just one more time and have Jesse the way he's looking now. With the feather boa and all the bling and shit.
Then you talk about conspiracy theories all night.
No, the stipulation was he had to take a break from conspiracy theory. Come on, as good as Jerry the King Lawler has been, I don't think there has been a better color commentator for WWFE, whatever, than Jesse the Body.
All he did was argue with McMahon.
Yeah, but it was the arguments that made it so good.
As opposed to now, which is just the same thing in Cole and Lola.
Yeah, well, you know, that's inane because it's Cole. But there was some actual intelligence behind Jess and Vince.
Are you implying that there's no intelligence between, well, I know there's no intelligence with.
So what am I implying, Omega? Really? Seriously?
Yeah, but I'm sure there's still a good amount of intelligence in Jerry, and there's some integrity to his commentating. And by the way, I'm enjoying a delicious dinner from Sonic.
Oh, I get it. I see what you did.
It's so good for my heart.
Oh, fuck, yeah. All that deep fried shit. No wonder the guy had a goddamn heart attack. United States, there's something going on now in the rest of the world. It's called, you know, eating healthy.
Jerry, don't get in the ring. We can't risk you having a second coronary, but here's about 4,000 calories for you.
Yeah. You know, this just reminds me of the little conversation I had with Lindsay a couple days ago about southern food. I can't remember what the hell it was. Rock, I asked you about it, and you had no clue.
You mean the fried dough known as a hush puppy?
Yeah, the hush puppies, that's right. And all it is, it's dough that's deep fried. What the fuck? I mean, eat one hush puppy, and you can hear your arteries hardening.
Oh, look, I've got a friend of mine who's over in the States at the moment. He's been over there for about a month now. Every photo that he has sent of food that he's had over there, I don't even think I have spotted one vegetable. It's all been deep-fried stuff.
Well, everything is either deep-fried or fried up in lard or something. I'm afraid to see what Rock is sending us now.
Like, I said this to Lindsay the other day. If I make it to the States, I've got to make sure that I weigh 10 pounds before I get there. Because by the time I leave, I should be back to my normal weight.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you know, back in 2006, when a certain Oklahoman told me he was moving to Canada, I told him, well, you know, because he was complaining about his weight and he wanted to lose weight, I said to him, well, we don't deep fry absolutely fucking everything up here, so that should help. And then he gets up here and proves to be the exception to the rule, because the guy weighs, like, I swear to God, there's two of them wrapped into one now. Yeah, Omega, he was.
And now he's Jumbo Jumbo.
Speaking of Jumbo Jumbo, we have a guest
online. What a jackass! Not you, Spud. Not you. Not you. Sorry. That was directed towards Rock. Everybody, yeah, the Spud guy has joined us!
I have.
Yay!
So does this mean that the little Spuglet is asleep then?
He is. He is upstairs, passed out.
Oh, yeah, by the way, belated congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, a little baby boy, huh?
Yeah, you're only about a month behind the curve.
Yeah, I know. I haven't talked to you since the kid was born, so.
I have Skype and Facebook.
Yes.
It's just so hard to keep in touch these days.
Yeah, I mean, really.
He has Twitter, too, and, you know.
I have all three of those things.
Yeah, don't feel left out. I haven't talked to my mom in a month and a half.
Yeah, but also and I hate to say this, in Tim's defense, he's probably still ahead of a few of your other friends that you know in real life, right, Spug?
He is farther ahead than most of my friends. That's no joke. That's no joke. They don't listen to this shit, so I could shoot on them all they want. Dude, I'm not kidding. Like, two of the guys that I was best men in their wedding, no phone call, no text, no nothing so far.
It's like, how painful was that for both of you to say?
It wasn't. I laughed because I forgot all about my rant the other night.
So I don't feel so bad no more.
Yeah, no, he's upstairs in his bassinet, asleep.
Awesome.
Because, you know, that's pretty much what he does at this stage, is eat, sleep, and shit.
Well, that's, you know, what babies are paid to do. Now, I don't want to bring up any kind of a sensitive topic or anything, but he came along the pipe a little bit before he was supposed to, didn't he?
It's not sensitive.
Well, some, you know, I'm...
He showed up...
Just trying to be respectful.
No, you're not. He showed up about 6 weeks early.
Yeah.
He's getting an early push to the main event.
As like I was telling my buddy, I'm like, kid missed his shine. I'm like, he showed up when Heat falsies go home and he missed the shine. I'm like, what the fuck?
Weren't you stuck in New York?
I wasn't stuck. No, I was working. I was up in New York. I worked a show that night, and we bought like there were four of us that went up. Two of the guys went on before me and the other guy, and me and the other guy went on next. So it was like, they're match three and we were match four. And match four, like right before we were going out, I got a text from her that he was gonna be here. And I'm like, well, fuck. So we went out, we worked, we got back, and I'm like, we gotta go.
Dude. Did you at least get your payout?
Well, yeah, we had to sit there because, like, match four was the match before intermission.
Yeah.
So, like, we took it into intermission. Intermission was 15 minutes. And then, right afterward, the promoter was doing a promo with the group who was in the main event because he was match five on the card.
Yeah.
So, like, we had to wait for another, like, 40 minutes before he got in the back so we could get our payout and get the fuck out of there. I made it into the delivery room with literally, like, 3 minutes to spare.
Wow.
Yeah, oh, it was fantastic. I'll never forget that weekend as long as I'm alive. That weekend was one of the best ever. Jeez.
Write the movie.
I would love to, but I don't think anybody would ever pick up on the movie rights. Ever.
So at what point are we going to get introduced as Uncle Mace, Uncle Omega, and Great-Grandpa Tim?
I knew you were going to, you prick, asshole. You frickin' cunt.
I had to.
I can't wait till you come over. I swear to God, I'm going to kick you in the dick.
He threatens us, it'll never happen.
And then we'll go for a beer. No, I'm going to kick him in the dick, then we'll go for a beer. It's a Canadian thing.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Spug, read Skype. Type it in, don't say it out loud.
He's in on it. It was anyway.
That's the promoter in me talking. So anyway,
we were talking about old school Raw.
And Tim,
considering this is very quickly turning into an old school show.
Indeed, but the caveat, all right, here's the caveat for that. I was brought in by somebody to work them, and it wasn't even like because we're greenhorns, essentially.
Yeah.
And we were brought in by the guys who polished us. That's why we got that.
Okay.
If I had they had a show Friday or Saturday last night that if I'd have gone to, and I was booked on, but my son came home, so I really couldn't, you know, go. But, if I'd have gone last night and worked that show last night, I'd have been 40.
You would have got what?
So.
What you
I'd have made double what I got.
Okay. Cool.
So anyway, old school roll.
I wanted Mr. Perfect come out. I mean, wait, what?
Wait, what? No,
Deluxe.
Not gonna get him. You're gonna probably get Ric Flair, the New Age Outlaws, Mean Gene.
Can we get can we get Perfect's kid?
For real.
Unless he's coming out in the Mr. Perfect gimmick, probably not.
Can we get somebody other than the New Age Outlaws and the many incarnations of DX? Ugh.
Yeah, but DX is so easy to get.
Can we get anybody else rather than, you know, Dusty Rhodes, Duggan, Farouk? You know, all the staple.
I don't mind seeing Farouk, and I don't mind seeing Million Dollar Man. But, like, Mace's bugaboo is The Rock. Mine right now is every fucking time there's a camera and Road Dogg is in front of it, somehow Billy Gunn and the rest of fucking TX shows up. It's like they're cockroaches. They just come out of the woodwork.
Hey, we were backstage anyway.
Oh, look, and there's China.
And then somehow...
She's
somehow,
the entranceway.
Okay, here's the thing. To go along with Spug's gripe, I would actually welcome the return of China because we haven't seen her sober in front of a camera in a long time.
And you're not going to see her sober or dressed in front of a camera for a very long time to come. Just saying.
Actually, I do lie. She was sober and dressed at when she was spotted on camera at the Roast of Flavor Flav, which I think was back in 2005.
Oh, fuck.
Are you sure she was sober?
Back to school again.
I can't 100% confirm that she was sober at the time, but she looked like she hadn't been dumpster diving at the time, so
I'll
give her the benefit of the doubt.
I think maybe she started out sober.
Flavor Flav's roast was 2007. But I'd like to see somebody different rather than the staple of usuals.
The standard. Well, name somebody different.
I wouldn't mind seeing Bruno.
He's coming after WrestleMania. He's coming right after WrestleMania. He's going to be on Raw.
That would be awesome to see San Martino tomorrow night, but yeah, that won't happen.
I also really wouldn't mind seeing guys who you wouldn't expect. Like, and I know he's a fat tub of goo now, but like Ahmed Johnson.
Ahmed, Jake the Snake, Scott Hall.
I wouldn't mind seeing Jake.
To be honest, I wouldn't mind seeing Jake and DDP walk out on that stage. Could you imagine the explosion of applause that's going to happen?
Can you imagine what? Do you imagine what Hall's going to do to the liquor cabinet while they're out?
yeah, true.
You're really going to leave Scott Hall unattended?
Yeah, probably not.
Cool.
No, there's a guy that'll be there, and he'll help him make a pizza. It's on YouTube.
Yeah, and everybody will call him Virgil.
No.
Bring back Virgil for one fucking night!
I saw
the guy desperately needs a payday, Mace.
Exactly!
Did you see the picture that was floating around? It's the most depressing thing I've ever seen.
What, with him just sitting there begging people to give him $20 for an autographed picture?
Yeah,
and then
he's just got like a printout of what he used to be in wrestling, and he's just wrapped it around a pillar in a subway station, and a little bag full of stuff with his name on it. Please,
and people are
chewing
him down
for
$5, something he's asking $20 for.
Yeah, yeah, if you want a photo, it's $20, but he'll take $5, which show you how bad the guy's doing.
Okay.
Offer him a loaf of bread, you probably get three of them.
To name somebody else. We haven't seen him in a while. It's about time for him to retire for the 8,000th time. Let's bring out Terry Funk. I want to see if he's still walking.
Oh, he might do a Billington and actually be in a wheelchair until he goes out in out into the curtain. Then he stands up and walks out.
As long as he's
kind of do the roly-poly walk.
But, like, I want to see guys that we haven't seen. Like, go past your Dusty Rhodes. Go past Duggan. Go past, the Godfather, Foley.
Or Virgil.
Yeah.
I know!
Yeah, what about Kamala, complete with crutches?
See, here's the thing.
Listen, don't be a tactless douche. Like, Kamala coming out would be fucking cool.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, WWE? Million Dollar Man's gonna be there that night. Bring back Virgil. Give the man a payday, please.
Yeah, seriously, if anybody needs one, Tim.
What you do is you have Million Dollar Man come out with Virgil. Go, Virgil, I know you've been hard up. Here's a donation. Hand over a big briefcase with a dollar sign on it. Then you have IRS come out and take the briefcase, sorry, Virgil, you haven't paid your taxes.
Oh!
Oh my God, that's awesome!
He hasn't made any money to pay taxes.
Oh, geez, I don't know.
I would pop harder than I pop Monday night for the pile driver.
I mean, it's funny, but it's just so wrong at the same freaking time, man. Bring up Paul Orndorff.
Jeez.
No?
Coming to Kayfabe Wrestling Radio soon.
Ric Flair is going to be there. How many horsemen can we get? Arn's easy.
And Tully.
Bring back Mongo.
No!
Who?
Never mind that shit.
We need Bongo. We need a Jarrett Hall in the pole match.
Hell,
oh my God!
You want to pull somebody different out for commentary? Bring back Tony Schiavone for one night. Evil Goatee and all.
Tony Schiavone.
Zabisco.
Hey, Zabisco, I'd pop for.
Zabisco, complete with his really bad-looking fake hair. Or transplant hair. Have you seen him lately?
I don't think I want to now. Never mind.
He's got a lawsuit on his hands, man. The doctor gave him doll hair.
But, like, there's got to be guys out there that that we haven't seen in years that...
I want to see Mongo. I do. I want to see McMichael.
Last time we saw him in TNA, it wasn't exactly a good sight. But, you know, there's got to be people out there that...
aren't already on the roster.
Yeah,
hey,
well,
how about Glacier now that WWE
no.
WWE stuff?
Only if they
go to hell.
Buff Bagwell.
Buff.
Yeah.
Why are you being such an unadulterated douche?
Buff's the stuff.
Okay, how about this then? How about let's find out what his legal status is at the moment and go for Marty Jannetty.
Well,
is
wait
he
a minute,
allowed
wait a
to state yet?
Where is Raw tomorrow night?
Rock, that's your department.
Yeah, where is Raw's in Buffalo? He can't make it. Sorry, no Jannetty.
Can we get the Red Rooster?
Oh God,
Carey Pritchard doesn't work for WWE anymore.
Damn it.
Wait, who'd you just say? Hold on. Who'd you just say, Spug?
Red Rooster. It was Terry Pritchard, wasn't it?
Terry Taylor, not Bruce Pritchard.
Yeah, thank you. No, there's two Pritchards. There's Bruce Pritchard, and then there's...
Tom Pritchard.
Hey, Spug, can you just tell me, who inducted Stone Cold into the Hall of Fame a few years back?
Oh, Bret Hart, I think.
Okay, so it wasn't Bret Michaels? Okay.
Yeah. No! Dude, you were talking about Shawn Michaels the one night. Show, go fuck yourself.
Well, I happen to know for a fact that tomorrow night at Raw, Cancer to the Business will be in attendance.
Yes, this is very true.
Who?
Anyway, moving on, Tim.
Moving on.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah, exactly. That's why you say moving on.
Is Coco Beware still kicking around?
Isn't he dead?
I like how we bring up a serious topic and you guys just shit all over it.
Well, this,
who would you really like to see? I'd like to see Mae Young's hand.
Oh, we saw that at Raw 1000. Come on.
Okay, but this is the thing, Spock. I want to see people that I haven't seen in years, and to do that, I've got to go and work out who was on the roster back in the day that could still possibly be available to work.
Hey, most of the guys you guys just named were WCW, not Raw. Just pointing that out.
Yes, because I'm sitting here with a roster list that says WWE alumni 1989 and naming off names.
Well, you should. There's probably a database somewhere.
Hey, why don't you pay TNA a certain amount of money and bring Hulk Hogan up?
No.
We tried it for a Christian appearance. Come on.
I'd like to see them try and trade off somebody to get Taz, but, you know.
Jeez.
Can we do a match between William Regal and Antonio Cesaro, Battle of the European Uppercuts? Who has the most brutal European uppercut?
You know, there was somebody I saw that had one that was like just vicious, and it was more brutal than Cesaro's.
What did he do? Throw him 40 feet in the air and then hit him straight in the face?
No, it was just the impact that he made on his uppercuts.
And where did his opponent's head land? What row?
Usually in their ass. Everybody bumped off of it. It was pretty sick. I've been watching a lot of Legends of Wrestling Roundtable, so they show all kinds of clips and footage.
You know what? I take it back. Old school Raw, bring in Glacier, but make him Cesaro, just so I can see Sub-Zero deliver that uppercut.
Yeah, it's like, as I've been saying all the way through this conversation, go outside the staples. Give us people that we haven't seen in a long time. Give us some genuine reason to pop. Instead of, oh yay, it's that same guy we saw at WrestleMania and 800 times throughout the year.
Right.
That's the hard part. They've been doing so many little celebrations. They're the anniversary episode, the 1,000th Raw. It's not that far out since we've seen a lot of these guys, and they roll them out randomly, even throughout then.
Quite frankly, though, I kind of think that, like, the old school Raw deal should be saved for after WrestleMania.
What do you mean after?
Because you think after Mania, and not the night after, but like a couple, between Elimination Chamber, the Hall of Fame stuff, and WrestleMania, the month of March already is pretty jam-packed on Raw, right? Because you're trying to set up storylines, you're trying to do this, you're trying to do that. If you were to save the old school Raw for after WrestleMania and the Extreme Rules kind of, hype and euphoria wears down, so that you have some kind of little thing to look forward to in May or June, I think does it better. Because then you can really get guys that you might not have seen in a while on there and do some neat things with it. You might even be able to set up stuff for SummerSlam. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat and Jericho from a few years ago that went into Mania off of the movie The Wrestler.
Yeah, they that would work, but I think at the moment they're just wanting something to keep the ratings high leading into Mania, to keep the interest going. Maybe bring back
you have the Rock the, there. Bring,
yeah, but okay.
As I much know.
As much as the, oh my god, draw card the Rock is okay. As much as he is a gigantic draw card, there are still sections of the old-school audience that really don't care about him. If you bring back other old-school guys, it gets people interested as well. That's what these old-school Raws have been about. They're about trying to attract the old audience back in to try and get them hooked back on the product. So you bring in all these old-school guys, people tune in for them, then there might be some that are fans of The Rock that didn't realize that he was back in wrestling, see him on the show and go, oh, shit. We're going to have to buy Mania now. That's what this is.
I'm with you to a point on that, but a lot of the guys that people want to tune in and see the old school are either dead, can barely walk, or look so atrocious in casual gear that there's no way you're going to fit them into any sort of Lycra without them spilling out and looking like Big Daddy Viss.
Agreed. I can agree on that, but at the same time, that's the purpose of this entire thing is a marketing deal.
I'm with you. I understand the purpose. Yeah. I get psyched about it too, because I want to see guys like Slaughter and Terry Funk and, you know, old school guys. But unfortunately, there reaches this point where, to me, it makes no sense to do it at the time of year that they do it, because you already have such a crammed in calendar. You had Raw 1000 in December. You had the 20th anniversary in January. You had a pay-per-view in February. Now you're leading up to Mania and you're going to try to cram in old school Raw.
That sounds overbooked.
Yeah.
Well, it is but that is the whole idea. It's a marketing thing to bring people in for WrestleMania. I mean, bottom line. We're going to roll out the retirement home. Hey, you remember these guys? Well, these other people that you didn't come here to see are putting on a wrestling show. Maybe buy it. please.
And if there's one more thing that I would like to see happen, if they're going old school Raw, the guys that have been around long enough to have either an older gimmick or an older style of look, bring it back. Like the first ECW reunion show that they did, where Jericho came out in the old Lionheart gear. You know, Rey Mysterio came out in the old gear they used to have in ECW.
Right.
If you're gonna go old school, if you are a guy who has an old school gimmick or an old school look that you haven't used in years, bring it out for one night.
Oh my god.
Yeah, Ken Kitten's in chat room says, "Hey, bring in the headbangers."
Oh, fucking hell.
Jeez. Pressure.
You imagine Triple H coming out like Hunter Hearst Helmsley again?
Yes.
Not with that haircut.
Sure he could.
He can hold on for that haircut.
Put on don't worry about the haircut. Just to bring him out back in the old old school gear and do the curtsy again, that'd be hilarious.
Can we get a match between Thugonomic Cena versus Nikki from the Spirit Squad?
Yes. For one night.
You know the funny thing is, though, if you look at Dolph Ziggler now, and you look at him when he was Nikki in the Spirit Squad, he was bigger then.
Well, he had more baby fat on him.
That could have something to do with certain regulations and crackdowns that have happened since.
I don't know. I don't think, like, he would, I don't think it was just, I don't think he was on the gas. But he was just, he was a little bit bigger that, it's just like CM Punk. When CM Punk first came in, CM Punk was way bigger than he is now. CM Punk is definitely well more defined than he was at one point.
Part of that is more of a focus on cardiovascular rather than just building up bulk muscle. And And part of it is also just the natural evolution. I mean, some, you know, WWE, you naturally think they want big guys, they want big bulk guys, because, you know, that's what Vince McMahon likes. But you know, eventually you find out you're not really made for that. I mean, okay, you know, CM Punk isn't made for muscle. Dolph Ziggler isn't a power wrestler. He's a finesse guy. So it works better for him. I mean, he thins down and then he takes crazy ass bumps off monkey flips. It works out.
And that's also why guys like Ryback, who are able to support that bigger size and bulk, look that much more impressive now, because they're not the norm.
Yeah, if Ryback was in the
norm.
Yeah, well, if Ryback was in the Attitude Era, he really wouldn't look all that different. Honestly,
he'd be kind of puny compared to what some of those guys look like.
If Ryback was in the Attitude Era, he'd be no different than Test and Albert. He'd get lost in the mid card.
Well, if he was in the Attitude Era, he'd be an even more Shameless Goldberg ripoff. But besides that.
Well, Goldberg was a Shameless Austin ripoff.
In look, but you can't really compare them.
Well, I didn't mean in gimmick, but in look and in attitude, he was a Shameless Austin ripoff.
They fire the guy who they didn't think could get over just wearing black trunks, and then they go rip off the guy they fired in black trunks. And we wonder why they failed.
Mm-hmm.
Would you consider it old school to have Edge show up tomorrow night?
Yeah.
Would that count? Yeah. Does that count?
Only if he comes out through the crowd.
Considering Rob's like 3 years old when he debuted.
See. Christian's about healed up. I mean, if you have Edge and Christian come out and...
Five second pose.
Even older. Can we find out what Gangrel's doing right now?
But dude, if all of a sudden the Brood music played and you saw the firing around the entrance, I'd pop. I would.
You wouldn't be the only one. I'd pop too.
I would
be it'd be even more hilarious if Gangrel came up with the Hardys. This wasn't the one you're thinking. Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, and fuck you.
No, it wouldn't work. The elevator couldn't lift Matt.
I'd
pop for that, but at the same time, it's really cruel to do to Gangrel, because he's the leader of the group, and now he's being flanked by former world champions. I was their leader, and now I'm unemployed.
At least he's not like Shane Douglas working at a Walmart.
Can we pay him an extra $2 an hour and get him on TV? that didn't happen.
Can we have Dean Douglas come in and Sandow? Can we show Sandow how it's done?
It's by Matt Stryker.
Fuck that! Oh. Have Lanny Poffo show up.
Oh, Chris Nowinski.
You know, we could just go on the rest of the show trying to come up with names and shit like that, but it's time we moved on to different stuff, guys.
Come on, we've got a whole School of Hard Knocks faction going.
That's great, but we got people waiting to play WTR Pick'em.
Who?
TNA Lockdown coming up next weekend.
And with that, I'm out.
Well, come on, you can play along for shits and giggles.
Way to kill it, and we finally got a nice flow on the topic, and you grind it to a halt. Thank you, Alan.
We've been on for 2 hours already, and we still got shit to do.
You didn't stop us when we were talking about Real Steel.
We didn't talk that long about Real Steel.
At least we're on topic.
So, yeah, I think it's time to play TNA Lockdown Pick'em, kids.
Well, have fun. I've been presented with a Spuglet. I'm assuming it means defeat it, so.
Well then.
I don't think yours work that way.
They don't. That's why we have bottles.
Good night, Spug.
So, Mr. Later. Spug the Pumper, huh? Yeah, he already
hung
up.
And he ignores you.
Yeah, I don't think he heard me. Anyway. Yeah, okay, now, time of the night, Kane Kittens, get your pencil out, make sure it's sharp, and we're going to play the TNA Pick'em. Here it is, everybody. We're just going to throw the matches out. You pick who you think is going to win and see if you can come up with something to win. We've got something to give away, as a matter of fact, and it's going to be an autographed picture of Kurt Angle. I do believe. Is that not correct, Mr. Producer?
That is correct. That is the one you picked. So, we're giving away Kurt Angle for this month.
You're such a jackass. Just play along.
Is that autograph legitimate?
It is legitimate.
You can tell because
fail
it
me,
says...
Fail me!
No, you can tell it's legitimate because the autograph says my picture was hacked.
Rock completely fails me.
It's real. It's damn real. Yeah. No, I was grabbing actually the actual autograph photo.
Did he autograph it with a broken freaking pen?
That was good. Okay. It's broken. It's damn broken. There, Omega. Are you satisfied? Does that work? Does that count?
No, because Rock still failed me.
God damn it!
Great. But anyway, Tim has to explain some of the rules for the game. Because there's a twist this week for three people.
Yeah, because three people like tied last week, and so we don't have three pictures of our autographed pictures of RVD to give away. So we got a tiebreaker happening with this one. If any of you three are in the running for this week, basically what we're going to do for you three is a two pay per view point total. The number you got right last pick'em. Added to the number you get right on this pick'em.
You will win a copy, an RVD autograph, and, if you so win the lockdown pick, you will also win the Kurt Angle one.
Yeah, so basically, bottom line, worst case scenario, one of you will win the autographed photo of RVD. And I believe it was Brent, Tommy, and who?
Chris Pierce.
And
you
Chris Pierce.
You three are the ones who are tied up, and so... Get your picks in, and you can win some nice autographs courtesy of our friends at Memorabilia Lane. The promotions go to memlanepromo.com, for all the autographs and memorabilia needs that they provide you.
Yeah, and if any of you guys were ever in Calgary during a Canadian All-Pro Wrestling event, you'd win two tickets to come to the show.
So if you're in there, we, you know, we can give them away. So
yeah, just let me know if you're ever in Calgary during you know, like when Canadian All-Pro Wrestling runs a show at the Royal Canadian Legion number 1, 116 7th Avenue Southeast Calgary over to Canada next show March 30th.
Featuring Hotshot Johnny Devine in the main event.
Yeah, also Kamikaze. Don't forget Kamikaze. We also just might see the re-debut of Stampede Wrestling legend Kenny Johnson.
So exciting, but let's get back to the pickle.
So, yeah, so here we go. Can we finally give people what they really want, and that's me versus Spug?
Get your fat ass to Canada and get Spug's
me,
fat
bitch.
Ass to Canada.
Pay me, bitch.
I'll give you, you'll get a payout once you get here. I'm not paying you to come here. I'm sorry, you're not gonna put asses in seats. Mace, you're not that big yet.
He's not bigger than the business yet.
He's no bigger than the business yet. Yeah.
So he's not kind of a big deal.
He's not, no.
He doesn't have many.
Nobody's heard of him.
Anyway, let's get back to the pickle.
Here you go. Yeah, TNA Lockdown Pick'em, everybody get ready. Here we go. Those of you listening live, put your answers in the chat room, and Kane Kittens will put them in a spreadsheet. First match, World Heavyweight title is the Steel Cage match. We got Bully Ray challenging the champion, Jeff Hardy. Omega, Pick'em.
Jeff.
Rock, Pick'em.
Jeff.
Okay, because it's Jeff.
Bully.
Mace, Pick'em.
Bully!
I'm going with Jeff. Next match. Lethal Lockdown cage match. It's Aces and Eights versus Team TNA, Mace.
Team TNA.
Woo. Right.
Who's on each team, do we know?
Huh? No. On Team TNA, it is Showtime Eric Young, who returned this past week. You have Sting, Magnus, James Storm and Samoa Joe versus Devon, Doc, Knox, Garrett Bischoff, and Mr. Anderson. So that's your Aces and Eights team. I'm going with them.
Yeah, definitely Team TNA then.
They got to win once, Aces and Eights.
Okay, Rock.
I just...
Aces and Eights?
That's what I just...
Well, he's just making sure. Omega.
Jeez. Aces and Eights needs a win so bad, but then again, I'm not quite sure they know how to be booked, so TNA.
All right, I'm going to actually say Aces and Eights because it's a pay-per-view and, like, they got a team of them involved.
That's brilliant analysis by Tim Stein.
Yes, thank you very much. Up next match is the Steel Cage match. We got Wes Briscoe versus Kurt Angle. Omega?
I want to keep picking faces here. You know, I'm going to say Briscoe just for the shock of the night.
Okay, Mace.
Yeah, I'm going Briscoe as well.
Okay, Rock.
What did Omega... What'd you say, Omega? Nothing. Anyway, Wes Briscoe wins.
Okay, I'm going to buck the trend. I'm going to say Kurt Angle.
Oh, and I hate you, Lindsay.
Why? What did Lindsay do?
Nothing. Just move on.
Oh, come on.
Just move on.
She's probably drooling over somebody.
Okay. Well, she probably put the thought of a certain thing in Rock's head again.
No.
Well, it's in there now.
No. I think the problem is a certain thing in her head.
It's a certain thing in her head.
Yeah. It's a certain thing on her mind. She wants... Never mind. I'm not going to finish that. Tag Team Championship. We got Daniels and Kaz versus Bobby Roode and Austin. Aries versus Hernandez and Chavo Guerrero. And I'm going to say Daniels and Kaz. Mace?
I'm going to say it stays with Bobby and Aries. Too early to take the belts off them.
Okay. Mega?
Yeah, Rude and Aries.
Okay. Rocky?
The Mexicans lose, and Bobby Roode and Austin and Aries win.
Why does everybody laugh? They are Mexican. Mexican-American, but still.
Team Dead Uncle.
Team Dead Uncle. Yeah, that works. Well, that only half works. Really.
But it's all they talk about.
No.
Hey, do you remember how my uncle's dead? Hi.
They've gotten better at that. They haven't mentioned him in about a month or so.
How do you know Hernandez isn't related to Guerrero somehow? Aren't they all related down there?
Oh, God,
you're thinking
no.
of Samoans.
Yeah, exactly.
We're all related to Yokozuna somewhere.
It's true, they are. Somehow, some way.
Yeah, that's the scariest family tree ever, because it's like Rikishi's family and the Rocks. That's the thing. Every Samoan is connected somehow.
Yeah,
especially the ones in wrestling.
Let's hope they do not get inducted in the Hall of Fame as a family, because they wouldn't fit on the stage.
Could you imagine being the person to induct them, though?
Could you imagine it?
Nobody can suit it for it. It's unrelated.
It'd be a 6-hour induction, because every single one of them would have to make a speech.
All right, one speech, then you all get two words of it.
There you go. Hey, Rock, aren't you supposed to pick something now?
This year in the WWE Hall of Fame, the Samoan families. One gigantic special, that's it.
Apparently, Tim, you don't listen to me. I said the Mexicans lose and Bobby Roode and Austin Aries wins.
Okay, so in other words, everybody's picked.
Yeah.
Moving on. The Knockouts Championship is Gail Kim versus Velvet Sky. Fuck. Rock.
Since Velvet just won the belt, I'm going to stick with Velvet.
Omega.
What he said.
Mace.
What they said.
I'm going to pick Beth Phoenix.
No, she's not in the match. Sorry.
She have a Money in the Bank contract? Why?
Okay, then Velvet Sky. And that's basically all of the matches that we have to this point. Everybody, things change, and we allow for that. You can change your picks right up until what time, Eastern Rock?
You can change them up until Saturday. You can send picks in until Sunday.
You can send them in until Sunday at, like, what, 2 o'clock Eastern time?
We'll go about 5 p.m. Eastern. How about that?
5 p.m. Eastern time Sunday. Of course, this will happen yet one more time on Thursday night. And then, of course, you'll do CB Radio, because I think that just another goddamn wrestling show has decided they don't want to play because they can't get anywhere and don't know what they're talking about.
Exactly, but we do it on CB Radio as the big joke because they don't watch.
they don't want to play because the stoned guys on CB Radio actually win this thing.
Yeah, and they don't watch. That's the freaky part of it, Mace.
Yeah, whereas on just like another goddamn wrestling show, you've got what? One owner, one booker, one referee, and a wrestler, and they still can't fucking get anything right.
Jeez. Yeah, that's
basically what you're saying is, if it isn't for a lack of THC, I'd be picking these perfectly.
Yes. Probably.
Yes.
All you need is a little THC, and then you get some TLC, and then you get to win, you see.
Just to point it out, Rob just realized they tape in Orlando, and he has a sister who lives in Orlando, and, he could have, at some point gone and seen a TNA show, and now they're on the road full time. And he got perfect square a month ago.
Yeah, that's the freaky thing. He went 8-0.
But yes, you can send out the media at wildtalkradio.com, tweet them, Facebook them, put them in the Facebook group. You know, all that fun stuff, and you have
you can
Sunday.
Email Kane Kittens.
Yes, KaneKittens at WildTalkRadio.com.
Yeah.
You just send along an email, we'll get the picks in, and you can win a prize. People who we mentioned earlier, you should actually get your picks in, because you can, win two things. So.
Yeah. two things up for grabs, technically, next Sunday night. And, of course, we'll be live on the air at 11 o'clock Eastern to talk about TNA's lockdown and let you know who won. What?
Exactly. But now it's time, Tim.
For the great debate.
It's now time for this week's WTR Great Debate. Join the hosts as they debate the greatest WWE hardcore champion of all time.
Well, as you see, Spike Dudley staggering around, and then out of nowhere, look at this, Hurricane comes flying in. He really can't fly.
It wasn't a bird, it wasn't a plane.
It was Hurricane.
It was Hurricane.
And he's our new hardcore champion here in the WWF.
Quick, to the Hurricane Cycle.
And now.
No! Oh, wait a minute. What? Marty Molly. I don't believe it. Marty Molly has just defeated...
Hurricane with a frying pan.
I thought she was a sidekick.
Look, I'm the hardcore champion. I'm a winner, baby. Yeah. What the? What are you
doing? Wait a minute. There's Maven. Maven rolling up Christian. I think Maven's regaining the hardcore title. And now he's taking Christian's cap.
Now step into the ring with us for this week's great debate.
Final matches of the first round, we have up first, Rob Van Dam takes on the Mean Street Posse, Mace.
Oh, you know, this is going to be a real hard choice. Rob Van Dam. I'm sorry, but the Posse, you know, it takes three men and they still don't really seem all that interesting.
You're not a big fan of Pete Gass?
No.
Or Joey Abs.
We were surprised when they rocked up on a pay-per-view riff we were doing the other day.
This is true.
Now you want something that's going to get people going, what the fuck, on Monday? Bring back the Mean Street Posse for one night. And you'll just hear, who are you? Who are you?
It's been since the 15th anniversary they were last there, so.
Bring Shane in. God, how long has it been?
At least 3 years. Anyway, Omega.
Huh.
I know. This one's
it's
difficult.
It's just
for you.
So hard.
That's Lindsay. What she said.
Lindsay, shut up. No, it's Rob Van Dam. Duh.
Tim.
Dob Van Ram, yeah.
Up next, Crash Holly takes on Mike Awesome. Mace.
Crash.
No way.
Yeah, let's just clean sweep this one already, Crash.
All right, so they move on?
Whoa, wait a minute, you didn't ask me. Just for that, I'm going to screw up Mace's perfect sweep and say Mike Awesome.
All right, so Crash Holly.
You're an ass.
I was kidding, it's Crash Holly. Christ sakes.
So
be serious, this is official.
Yeah, seriously.
Oh, okay, I'm doing.
So that was the end of the first round of the Great Debate. Next week, we'll start round number two.
Round number two?
Mm-hmm.
We're finally on to round number two, and it's been fucking months.
Yeah, I was about to say, this is going to be the quickest Great Debate that we've done in a long time.
A long time!
In the matches up next week is Mankind versus Hurricane, Undertaker versus Pat Patterson.
You know, we should find a really short Great Debate we could do in, like, one show, and do the whole show. Is Great Debate from preliminary to the final winner.
You can put that together.
My fine.
Have fun with that.
Biggest whore in wrestling. Finals Lita versus Kelly Kelly. Go.
No, I would say Sunday's up there. But anyway. Moving on.
Moving on. I think it's time
to rank. We can't rank Sunday. She can't remember half of them.
She's too busy breaking records for being jailed most times in a month.
Which, you know, is a different record than she was breaking back in 1995. Anyway,
bada bing, bada boom. All right, time for quicklets. Rock, let's do it.
That was English? Okay.
I don't know what I was talking, Kat. That was not the listening. So just, you know, play the goddamn opener. Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits. Wow. That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wildfire.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hit.
Tim, what is your favorite vintage wrestling move?
Good question. Old school. Let me think. I like the Luthrez press. I have to admit, I like that.
Okay. And that is a vintage move we don't see often. Mace, what is your favorite vintage video game?
Favorite vintage video game?
Mm-hmm.
Can I have two?
Sure, I guess.
Okay. Old school in terms of I can still pull this out today and have a lot of fun goes to Super Mario Bros. 3. Old school in the way it kicks your ass so hard that you can flush your teeth with your asshole. Battletoads.
Battletoads?
Battletoads, man. Old school in every sense of the word. Good old side-scrolling 2D action that is on the levels of torture to try and finish.
Battletoads is a man's game, Tim.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't know anything about it. Gotcha.
He got to there. Anyway, Omega, what is your favorite vintage action figure?
That's hard for him to answer because of all the plastic toys he plays with.
He doesn't play with them. He reviews them on TJTV.
I'm playing with them right now. Fuck you.
Plastic toys.
Yeah, they're toys. You don't buy them to sit them on the shelf and collect dust. You play with them.
And then break them and switch them with your roommate, Sheldon.
# Big Bang Theory reference.
Freaky thing is, I have a brother named Sheldon Lee.
My favorite, you're making me pick between my children here.
Yes, you have
the only children I'll ever have.
Wow,
Tim, really?
Yeah, I know, I went there.
Fucking asshole, wow.
Alright, back to Omega's children.
Nice with the bowl, you get the horns.
My favorite one is for sentimental reasons, and it's a Transformer named Ramjet. You are so immature.
Sorry, I had to.
It's the word. is it really your level of amusement, the word ram?
I'm bored, okay? Shut up.
Jeez. God. You try to be a little bit more grown up while I talk about my toy?
Hell no. Nice setup, though. That was good. I'll give you points. People are still wondering what you just said.
No. I don't know why my memory is so vivid of it, but I could probably take you right to the house where the yard sale was when I got it. And it was the first toy I had ever seen that was actually well taken care of. Like, everything in baggies, all the paperwork was still there, and you know, it was kept pristine. You know, like, that's probably where the whole collecting thing started, when I stopped throwing plastic objects into walls.
Alright, so there you go. Tim, what character in The Walking Dead do you most relate to?
You're a dick.
You're welcome.
The reason people he's asking me this question is because I just finished watching the last of all the episodes of Walking Dead. I started watching it just to see if it was, you know, because people were talking about it, and I was never really into it. And then I started watching it right from the very beginning, and I've just finished the last show. Now I got to wait till October for the new one. God damn it. Piss me off.
There was a new one tonight.
I saw that.
You saw the new one tonight?
Yes. I have my TV set. You know, I've got TV on and stuff.
Okay.
But that, you know, like the actual new season kicks off in October. They start filming in May, I think it is,
right,
in Georgia.
Anyway,
who do I most relate to? Oh, I don't know the guy's name.
You so don't. Okay.
It's one of the zombies.
It's one of the zombies.
No. It's not one of the zombies. It's you know, it's the sheriff, the cop.
Okay. I couldn't tell you I don't watch the show, so can't
help you. It'll be the main guy who believes he's the leader and acts like a dick and whose kid gets half his face blown off, but. Oh, wait, I don't think that's happened on the show yet. Oops, spoilers.
And you called me a dick. You are such a dick.
Hey, I read the fucking comic book, sir.
Dude, eat a dick.
That's why I don't watch the show, because I read the comics.
Rick.
Because I know what's coming.
Eat a dick. His name is Rick.
We are in third grade. Tim is rhyming. Anyway. Mace, what is the worst video game ever?
Worst video game ever.
Just pick one.
Is it something...
I know.
Okay, do we want to qualify this? Do we want to go with the actual answer, or do we want to go with what I have played, or what I have seen?
Because there is a very factual answer for this.
What is the worst one you've ever played?
Yeah, worst one you ever played.
Worst one I have ever played. Jeez.
Played so many. For Atari.
No,
that's the factual answer.
No, that's not even the factual answer. That is grade school compared to the factual answer.
I want to know the factual answer after Mace's answer.
All school that I have played. Now we're going over like fucking 20 years of playing video games.
It never said old school, it said it's just the worst you've ever played.
Yeah, I know, but still, there's 20 years worth of bad gaming in there. I'll go with something a bit more recent, and this is... To give you an idea of how bad this game was for me... It was a game that I finished in 4 hours, and it's the only game I've ever taken back to the game shop and demanded a refund the same day I bought it.
WCW Thunder.
No.
Backstage Assault.
No.
Mayhem.
It is Burger not time. Even a wrestling game.
Burger Time.
No. Burger Time's old school. Awesome.
Yeah, no, Burger Time was a lot of fun. When I worked at Burger King, we had that as like the stand-up arcade game in the staff room.
Oh, dude, I went into a little taco restaurant the other night, and they had one of those little sit-down cabinets.
Oh, sweet.
Awesome.
The very old school game?
Yeah, like the old school, like you sit down at the little table thing. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, and the controls are like right in your crotch there, and you got to lean over, and it looks like you're doing something you shouldn't do under the table.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Anyway, enough of this. We're waiting for your answer.
Yeah, so this first game I've ever taken back on the day I bought it. And it really pisses me off because it's of a movie series I love to death. Evil Dead, A Fistful of Broomstick. I finished it in 4 hours, and it's the only game I've ever taken back and demanded a refund for.
That's just terrible.
Yeah. And it even had Bruce Campbell voicing Ash. Come on. It should have been made of awesome, but no. They fucked it up. And it was
they screwed it up.
Which was even funnier. Anyway, now, Omega, factual answer is?
I'm looking it up. I thought I had the name right, but it's not coming up in Wikipedia.
We have to actually wait for him to look this up because he has the next question.
Okay, yeah, I got it. It was a game called Cosmic Race.
Never heard of it.
No one has. It's the game that came out for the PlayStation in 95. This was a racing game with no physics.
What?
So there's a track, and you could go straight down the track, but you could also go down through the track and through all the little background areas, and the game couldn't even tell if you were still on the track or not.
That really sounds like a poorly built game.
I want to say it was Game Players Magazine. It was Game Players or Electronic Gaming Monthly, one or the other. They had a review table from 0 to 10, and it'd always be kind of referential. Every score, 10, 9, 8, would all have a different title to them.
Mm-hmm.
So they reviewed Cosmic Race. It was the only game in the magazine's history to score a perfect 0. And from then on, even though all the other scores still change their names with every month, 0 was always, from then on, Cosmic Race.
Yeah, if you want something else that's also extremely bad that ranks up in one of the worst games in gaming history, Superman 64.
Okay. So, Superman versus Rings!
Yeah! First fucking level, fly through the rings!
And the third level, fly through the rings. And the fifth level, fly through the rings.
Yeah. You'd expect the Superman game to be exciting. No, fly through the rings. Believe me, the list of bad video games Omega and I could probably dedicate an entire show to.
Maybe you should sometime, just for the hell of it.
Yeah, but that would interrupt us playing Left 4 Dead 2. And finding, like, the most awesome maps ever.
There you go. Walking Dead should have its own video game.
It does.
It's about to have two.
Yeah.
One Game of the Year awards, Tim.
Yeah, I was kind of kidding because I knew that.
No, you didn't. Anyway.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, and I should recommend if you've got a spare, like, I think it's about $15, go and buy it.
Moving on.
I know that actually means you spending money on a game, Tim, but you know you might actually enjoy this one. It's point and click, so even not your old mind can work it.
Anyway, moving on.
Eat a dick, you bitch!
This goes to Omega. Which one of these celebrities would you want as your apprentice? You have the likes of Trace Atkins, Stephen Baldwin, Gary Busey, Penn Jillette, Lil Jon, Brett Michaels, Dennis Rodman, Dee Snider, Mary Lou Henner, LaToya Jackson, Claudia Jordan Amorosa, Lisa Rinna, and Brandi Roderick.
What was the question?
This is the cast of Celebrity Apprentice.
Correct. Which one of these celebrities would you want as your apprentice?
Penn Jillette.
How come?
Awesome.
Yeah. Oh, please. Come on, Gary Busey.
Gary Busey's insane.
That's why Mace wants him.
And he can have him.
But you can get the guy who inducted Stone Cold.
That's an old joke, and we're beyond that.
Hey, it was an anniversary the other night. We had fun.
We did. We had lots of fun. If you missed our JFK tribute, go check it out on WorldTalkRadio.com.
Why is LaToya Jackson even on the show unless she's predicted she'll win?
Oh, she's still telling people that she's like clairvoyant and shit? What am I trying to say?
Not sure what you were trying to say, Tim.
I don't know.
I'm really not sure.
Her last name is Jackson, and she can't sing, so she's got to do something.
Anyway, that's quick hits for this Sunday.
Yeah. for March, what, 3rd?
March 3rd, which means in 27 days, Tim, what's coming up?
Give me a second. In 27 days, it's March Mayhem.
Ooh, March Mayhem.
Yeah, that's Canadian All-Pro Wrestling's next event.
Wait, college basketball's back?
No,
That's
March Madness. Canadian All-Pro Wrestling presents March Mayhem. Has got nothing to do with basketball. Although a couple of guys might wind up having their heads dribbled across the floor. Just saying.
You know, isn't there something to do with a battle royal or something coming up?
Well, what we're going to do is did things a little bit differently. Instead of awarding the heavyweight title first, we awarded the Commonwealth title. Now it's time to award the heavyweight title. The tournament kicks off March 30th with an over-the-top battle royal. And here's the weird thing about it. Everybody who wants to participate in the battle royal on the roster can, which means that you're going to have some not exactly heavyweights in there just to be tossed around, because it's going to be fun to watch them launch like lawn darts into the crowd.
So the biggest question I have to ask is, how many people will it take to actually get Steven Styles over the top rope?
Oh, God. Hopefully...
25 and a forklift.
Hopefully it doesn't take that many and it happens quickly. Seriously.
So you're going to have some lawn darts there, so it's going to be take home a wrestler night at Canadian All-Pro.
Yeah, well, it's pretty much take home a wrestler night almost every Canadian All-Pro wrestling event. That's a different story altogether we're not going to get into.
And isn't Johnny putting up the gold or something at the show?
Well, here it is, and he's protesting, and you even gave me a hard time about it, but it's in his Canadian All-Pro Wrestling contract.
All right, before you continue, has he actually read this full contract that you showed on the show last time? Did he actually read it in detail?
Well, you see, the contract that I held up was his very own personal contract that he signed.
Okay.
And that will be addressed actually on Canadian All Pro, CanadianAllPro.com in the next couple of days, probably Tuesday night or Wednesday. There's actually going to be video on there explaining basically what I'm about to tell you. It states in everybody's contract that should any of them hold any of the Canadian All Pro Wrestling's titles, they have to defend them either every 30 days or every CAW event, whichever comes first. So basically, every event, they have to defend their title, no matter what. Now, it was Devine's own fault that the main event on March 30th happens to be a six-man tag match. Devine teaming up with Andrew Hawks and Slammer to take on Kamikaze, Superfly Dan, and Mike Briggs. So, because Devine has to defend his title, and because Mr. Devine is Mr. Devine, he's not required to wrestle twice in a night. His title is up for grabs during the main event, the six-man tag match. Whoever scores the pinfall will be the Commonwealth champion. So Devine has a 1-in-6 chance of winning the title, of retaining his title.
Those sounds like WWE odds to me. Anyway.
I'm just saying. That's just, you know, just the way it is.
So everyone can go check it out at the Royal Canadian Legion on March 30th.
Yeah, and like I said, stay tuned to CanadianAllPro.com. Check it out. We got a whole bunch of stuff about to be posted up on the website between now and March 30th. You can't be in Calgary to watch the show. I know there are a lot of you that like the fact that we secretly stream it on the internet and don't tell anybody that we're streaming live wrestling on the internet. For those of you who can't be in Calgary, we're keeping it secret because we don't want anybody in Calgary to know we're doing that. Do you think I was secretive enough with that, Rock?
What'd you say?
Exactly. So, keep going to CanadianAllPro.com. There's going to be a bunch of stuff that's going to be added. Let you know what's going to happen, what's expected to take place on March the 30th. And then, of course, on March the 30th, those of you hanging around Wild Talk Radio might want to, you know, come a little bit early for CB Radio.
Yeah, Anyway.
Yeah. So that being said, I guess it's time to wrap stuff up and get the hell out of here.
Start plugging, Tim.
There you go. Once again, everybody, it's TNA's Lockdown pay-per-view next Sunday, so we're on at 11 o'clock Eastern tomorrow night. It's the Retro Post Raw Show, or Raw Post Retro Show. Or
Old School Raw, 3 hours, we'll break it down in an hour. Maybe I'm taking turns. Who knows? It's Old School Raw tomorrow night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll check out the post show.
There you go. And on Tuesday night, it's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with a guy who just loves doing live interviews, Mr. Alan Wojcik.
He will be speaking with Matt Bourne on the program. If you don't know who that is, well, it's Doink the Clown.
Yeah.
And if that
well, it's one of Doink. One of the Doink the Clowns. Yeah.
If that doesn't
he's
get
like,
your,
he was the main Doink.
If that doesn't get your juices excited, this one will. It's Omega's favorite wrestler of all the times. He returns to Kayfabe Wrestling Radio. It's Sugar Dunker Tim. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, this Tuesday night.
Wednesday, 8:30 Eastern, just another goddamn wrestling show, right here with the Chief Wood paneling. Scott Hudson and... and David Berry and Tyrone Peters and Jim Rome. They're all panelists on the show.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what show you're listening to.
Yeah, not really. It's just, but tune in. They're, you know, they're fun. And we have the fake mace on there.
Yeah, we have a fake mace on them, yes.
Just yeah, they have a fake mace. We got the real butter.
Yeah. And you say I have ego over a press release. Mace has a stand-in.
Mace, comments?
Well, I must have a very poor choice in stand-in, considering he's like twice my width and probably about half my talent.
Yeah, but you know, with the special camera effects that they do in Hollywood, you could almost barely not even tell it that it's not you. Kind of like well, sort of...
Especially over the radio medium, it seems that you guys can't tell one Australian apart from another.
Well, you all sound the same.
Except I sound intelligent, he doesn't.
Well, I'm not going to say a damn thing. Moving on, Thursday night, it's The Rack with your hostess, Lindsay Ward. She's got big boobs, so that's why she called her show The Rack, in case she didn't figure it out.
Just thought she likes spices. Thank you, Tim.
She's big into TNA, which we'll recover.
That's good, because I heard Omega just bought a new set of whips and chains.
Recapping Impact Wrestling.
Don't look at my PayPal account.
Don't leave your computer unattended.
Anyway, we'll be recapping.
Don't worry, Lindsay, it's still a surprise.
We'll be recapping Impact Wrestling, previewing Lockdown, and so much more. Check out The Rack Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern, and check out the brand new official website of The Rack, rackradioshow.com.
Surprise my ass. Friday
no
night,
surprise
any night.
For ass. That's the idea, Tim.
Friday night, gaming night, Mace is going to play the world's worst video games on Twitch TV.
No. We don't play the worst video games. We play some of the newest, greatest, and the best. And tentatively at this Friday night, we're going to see the return of the show that started it all, the game that got us starting to stream this stuff in the first place, Left 4 Dead 2. Omega
okay,
and I have
you know,
found some interesting maps that we wish to show the world.
Yeah.
It used to really be a pet peeve of mine how you bastardize the English language, but now I'm starting to get a kick out of it. Saturday night, midnight-ish, or as close as they can get to it, depending on how stoned Rob is, and if Subway can be found awake, it's another episode of CB Radio.
Yeah, pretty much. That's how it goes. CB Radio, midnight-ish, right here on the Lots of Radio Network.
And once again, everybody, 11 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Mountain, for the Lockdown edition of Wrestle Talk Radio. Okay, we're done. We'd like to thank PWMania.com and also MemLane.
Promo.com.
And
that was so smooth.
and then somebody else, but I can't remember, so we won't worry about it until next week. That being said, we're done. Go away. Bye. Don't call me.
Call him 24/7. His number's on CanadianOpera.com.
Only if you want tickets, otherwise piss off. Wow.
He will do anything for you, so just
I'm
going to
beat you senseless. Shut up. Oh, by the way, buy the t-shirt.
Buy the t-shirt. Call Tim. Nationalpro Wrestling.
They're for sale. $20 plus shipping.
He likes
phone calls. For real. I'm wearing one now.
He likes phone
shut
calls
up.
At 5 a.m. So
shut up.
Call him.
Shut up.
The number's on the website.
Okay, shut up. Show's over.
WildTalkRadio.com.